Amen. What a blessed song. Amen. Go ahead and turn over to Genesis. Genesis chapter number 9. Genesis chapter 9. Memorial Day used to be called Decoration Day. And it's the last Monday of May. And it honors those who have died in our nation's wars. And originated after the Civil War. Many died in that time frame. And that's when different people would place flowers on the graves. That's how it kind of became, of those that had been killed in battle, that's how it kind of became known as Decoration Day. And now, of course, Memorial Day. You know, God has given us a gift in the ability to remember. Amen. Sometimes remembering brings pain and sorrow. Amen. By the way, and there are times that God will actually take those memories away from us. Praise the Lord. But we know that being able to remember things is a blessing. And sometimes it brings joy and encouragement. Amen. Matter of fact, the ability to remember plays a very large role in our lives. And so today we're going to look at what the Bible says about the importance of remembrance. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for today. We thank you, God, for this time together. We thank you for Memorial Day. And I thank you, God, that our nation does take time to remember the lives of those that fought for our country and then died in battle and or even just died in service. And we thank you for them. We thank you for all those that have called or answered that call that you've given in that way. But Lord, especially those that paid with their life. God, bless now this day. Bless the word as it goes forth. Help us, dear God, as we are called to attention in the Word of God concerning remembrance and the important role that it plays in our lives. Help us now just really tie us into the message, the Word. Might the Holy Spirit have free course to do the work needed in each of our lives today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I had you turn over to Genesis chapter number 9 because it's there that we'll actually find the first usage of the word remember. Actually, the first usage of remember or remembrance is found here in Genesis chapter number 9. The word remember is actually used 148 times in the Bible. The word remembrance is used 53 times in the Word of God. And so combined, over 200 times we find the word remember or remembrance. So it's quite important, amen. In Genesis chapter 9, though, beginning in verse number 12, the Bible says, "And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud that it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh." So we find here, of course, the rainbow. By the way, when I say rainbow, what many might think today would be the symbol for the LGBTQXYRZQ5, I don't know, all that stuff, movement. But that is not what God has intended for us to remember whenever we see the rainbow. Matter of fact, the rainbow wasn't for us to remember. It was for God to remember. Do you see that? It's that when he sees it, he will remember the covenant, which he said, basically the covenant is that the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And you'll find in society that the world does a good job in a bad sense, amen, at trying to change these symbols like this and just alter things. Even think about this, is that God has said, so he destroyed the whole world with a flood, right? 8 souls were saved on Noah's ark. And we find that after that, Noah then is offering a sacrifice to God. And God, of course, gives this covenant. And what does the world say? Not only have they tried to change our mentality when we see the rainbow. By the way, don't let people, groups like that, hijack the true meaning of these things, amen. I think there's one organization taking back the rainbow. We don't got to take anything back, amen. No one's ever took it from God and the real meaning of it, amen. And so we just want to properly remember what that means. But think about, too, this new climate religion that's out there and how they are saying if the temperatures rise a fraction of a degree or two, you know, over the next whatever million years, that that we're going to have a flood. We're going to have the waters raise and it's going to destroy life. Is that possible? Why not? Because God promised that won't happen again. So any of you that believe in what's called climate change, by the way, does our climate change all the time within the bounds that God gave it? By the way, I think it changed from yesterday to today. Amen. And it definitely changed from January to today. Amen. This is a normal thing. But remember, change with God is within bounds, His bounds. He sets those bounds. We don't set those bounds. If you think you're big enough to alter the course of climate, you think way too high of yourself. Amen. The point is this, is that what the world's trying to do is hijack that too. And try to get you to run in fear so you go out and buy yourself an electric car, which, by the way, electricity ultimately is generated by the same fossil fuels as your car was operated by. Amen. What in the world? Amen. If you want an electric car, buy an electric car. I could care less, but just know that. Matter of fact, it pollutes the environment more with the battery cells and all the waste that's coming. And all, if that's what you want to do, go for it. Amen. I could care less. But don't say you're fighting climate doing it. And cows in a field passing gas ain't hurting the climate neither. No more than you because you ate too much tofu. Amen. Amen. The point is, very simply, we believe God and we trust Him. Amen. And we shouldn't worry about all these things. And He's done promised. Amen. That it ain't going to happen again by a flood. It's going to happen by fire next time. Amen. Amen. And so anyway, we have, this will be the first giving of that word remembrance in the Bible in verse 15 of Genesis 9. I will remember. Now, the first usage of man remembering, Genesis 40. If you flip over there, please. Genesis 40. We actually are going somewhere with this message. We really are. Amen. Genesis 40, verse number 23. It says this, Genesis 40, verse 23, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him. Oh, that's bad. Joseph had all kinds of hope after interpreting the dreams there for the butler, amen, and Baker. Baker's interpretation, though, it came true, and he was no more. Nonetheless, the butler, he was happy. He got restored to his position. He was so happy, he forgot about Joseph, who was unjustly sitting in jail. But look at chapter 41. The first usage of man remembering was that he didn't remember. But the first usage of him actually remembering would be in Genesis 41, same individual. Verse 8 says, it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, referring to Pharaoh. And he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh, Joseph must have been praying, amen. And Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, and it says, did put me in ward and a captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, and it says, I and he, and it says, we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was with us a young man, an Hebrew, a servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream, he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. And they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. Now, the fact that the baker here could remember was very important for a lot of reasons, very important for Joseph, but it was also important for Egypt as a whole, yea, the whole world, because it was Joseph that God would use the wisdom there to actually preserve food such that they would not perish in the 7 years of drought that was coming, amen, and that all spawned from the baker's the butler's ability to remember, amen. And so, very important this ability for us to remember. Look over at Exodus 17. Exodus 17. This will be the first usage of the word remembrance, and in this text, actually, it also uses the word memorial. And so, in Exodus 17, And in verse number 8, the Bible says, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek tomorrow. I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said unto him, and fought with Amalek, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. We're in Exodus 17, now verse number 11. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And that had to have been a heavy stone, amen. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, watch this, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. So this memorial here was really for the leaders to understand something. And so Moses experienced this with Aaron and Hur, and he says, write it in the book, and he says, rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, who ultimately would be the next leader of Israel. And it says that there was an altar built, and the altar was called Jehovah Nissi. It actually means the Lord, it's the Lord or Jehovah is my banner. That's what it means. And so as Moses, his hands would be raised up, you say, well, what's the importance of that? I believe it's to show us that we need to lift our hands up to God, up to the Lord. Amen. Very important. We should, matter of fact, in 1 Timothy 2:8, it says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Look over at Hebrews chapter number 12, Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah is my banner. Amen. Jehovah is my banner. As a church, as leaders in our church, as people around, keep in mind it was two around the leader there that helped hold the hands up. A leader can only do so much. He grows weary, he grows tired, and we need all the group working together to get them hands up in the air and glorify God and praise God. We don't need to bring in a bunch of worldly stuff to win a battle. We just need to lift up our hands to God, amen, and glorify his holy name and watch him do a work. There's much here in this text, but in Hebrews 12, here's a message for all of us. It says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. You know, when we lift up our hands, we look up too. We're looking up to Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, of faith. You know, when a farmer, before they had all those nice fancy GPS stuff and all that, they would actually, and I've done this mowing, they'd pick a spot in the distance and look to that thing and keep their eyes there, and they could keep a straight line when they drive that tractor, amen, by looking off into the distance and looking at that place that they're looking to attain, amen. If they get their eyes off that spot afar off and they start looking, they'll start swerving to miss this and that. Before they know it, their road's all crooked and all that. But if they'll just get that spot way out there and look at that thing and keep their eyes on it, amen, then they can keep that straight path. Do you know that as a Christian, If you'll get your eyes off the fray of this world and off all the garbage that's going on around you and all these little things that's happening, if you'll just look unto Jesus, amen. If you'll look to him and keep your eyes fixed there, amen, then you'll be able to lift up those hands which hang down in the feeble knees. And you won't have to be like this all the time anymore. Oh, the world's killing me. Oh, I got so many problems. And oh, I'm so discouraged. And oh, you won't do it anymore. Because when you're looking to Jesus, we're no longer discouraged. When we look to Jesus, we see salvation, amen. When we look to Jesus, we see, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. When we get our eyes on this world, it's depressing, amen. When we start looking at everything that we go through, all the vanities of this life, as we find in Ecclesiastes and Solomon talking about, amen, it gets heavy, it gets hard, amen. But if you'll just raise your hands and look up to God, amen, he will do a work in your life, and you won't have to worry about all this. He'll take care of all this, amen. In that battle, as long as Moses, who represented Israel, would keep his hands up, amen, then the battle was won. Now, I ask you this. What changed about the battle that caused it to be won or lost just simply because Moses raised his hands? I'll tell you what changed. God. God got involved when God's people recognized God for who he was. And God said, I can work there. But as long as you're stuck in the mud, amen. As long as you're got your hands down and you're woe in me in it, you're just like, oh, it's horrible. As long as you're doing that, God says, well, enjoy your sorrow. Enjoy your wallowing. But you must like it. If I get involved, you'll be helped. Apparently, you don't want help. So I'm just going to let you stay there until you get tired of it. And what do you do when you get tired of it? You cry out to God. What's God say? Stop your belly aching. Amen. I've already gained you the victory. Just look to me. Isn't that exciting? Do you know that no matter what problem you're involved in right now, if you'll just look to Jesus, he'll help you? Amen. If you're lost today and you look to Jesus, he can save your soul. Amen. If you're a Christian today and you think you're spiritual because you're all depressed, you're wrong, by the way. But if that's who you are, if you just look to Jesus, he'll help you. Amen. Isn't that exciting? It seems so simple, doesn't it? Sure does seem simple. Do you know that in a marriage, if both people just simply say this, I'm done fighting, I'm done causing drama, I'm done resisting God, here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to do what God wants me to do. Do you know within like, let me see how long it'll take. Like that. That's how quick it'll take for your marriage to go from horrible to amazing. That's it. Amen. That's it. Amen. Any relationship, any problem. And I said both in a marriage, that's true, that would really help. But just one in a marriage does that. Or in a work scenario. Because we know at work we have a lot of pressures. In a church scenario. Amen. In a family scenario. In any scenario. If you just stop fighting. And you say, I'm done fighting you, God. I'm just going to get my eyes off all these details. I'm just going to look up. I'm going to stop trying to manipulate all the details. I'm just going to look up. I'm just going to trust you. Amazing. You don't have to do it. God will let you. If you want to wear yourself out, go for it. It just won't work out well for you. But that's okay. That's what you want anyway. Because a lot of people really like drama. A lot of people really like problems. It's like they thrive on it. Amen. I don't. You can ask my family. I hate drama. So much so I'm like, Dana, we're not getting involved. We're just not. Yeah, but no. We are not being drawn into that. For no one. Do what you want. I'm not playing those games. Not. I'm just not. God's not in that. God is not in someone that has to always have drama. Always this. Always that. Always a problem. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Whatever. Have a fun life. Amen. I'm just going to keep looking to Jesus. Amen. That's the life that God's called us to. That's what we see here. That is, Jehovah is my banner. I'm not my banner. My life is not my banner. My family is not my banner. Church is not my banner. My job is not my banner. Jesus is my banner. Amen? Look at Deuteronomy 6. Man has a tendency to forget. Do you remember the day you got saved? I do. Do you know that event in your life was a miracle? A miracle happened. You went from sinner status on your way to hell, deservingly so. And just instantaneously when you got saved, you become joint heir with Jesus Christ, a child of God. You became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away, but all things are become new. That very moment, God changed you.
Amen.
And that is a pillar of remembrance in your life. And if God can do that in your life, he can do anything.
Yes.
Amen. I mean, if he can save me, he can save anybody. Amen. And you could say the same thing. So man has tendency to forget. We forget the victories that we've had at the hand of God, beginning with our salvation. But all along the way, we need to take note of how often God helps us. Amen? That's very important. And then number two, we have a tendency not only to forget the victories, but we have a tendency to forget the source of our blessings, successes, and strengths. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. It's the grace of God in my life that makes me able to function and manage in this life. Remember, and it's also the faithful man that abounds with blessings. Our strength, our help comes from the Lord. Amen. And that's it. So I need to understand the source of my help, the source of really the power of my life to do anything good. It's at the hand of God. He is the one. He's the Father of lights. And with him is no variableness nor shadow of turning. He is the one. All good gifts come from God. Amen. Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6. This is because we are forgetful people. We need to put things into our lives continually that bring us back to remembrance. Continually. Amen. Deuteronomy 6, verse number 10. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord. Doesn't stop there. Which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. He says, when you're comfortable and you got everything, got the job you wanted, maybe you're married, maybe a kid or kids or whatever, you got the American dream, which Brother Hewitt always says, which is the American scheme. Is that what he says? Yeah, something like that. Anyway, the point is this, is that everybody thinks, matter of fact, I was just talking to someone the other day, and this person has struggled for a long time, has a form of godliness, but no power because I don't believe there's salvation. Always looking for something. Now this person's got a new career path. Like, that's going to do it. Listen, as much as I love working on airplanes, airplanes hasn't done anything for me, amen, in light of eternity, amen. As fun as that is on earth, and I like to do a lot of fun things on earth, amen. I know this, amen. There is one person I give credit to and am devoted to, amen, throughout all eternity for the good thing he's done in my life, and that's Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. And the world's running after this and running after this. And if you're young, I know all I need to do is get out of my parents' home and find me someone to marry. And by the way, men marry women and women marry men. That's God's plan. And in God's will, amen. So if you're confused about that, see Brother Luke later, that's fine. Anyway, what we find is that we're always trying to run to something new and run to something new and run to something new and run to something new, thinking that maybe this next thing will bring me some happiness, amen. There is one thing that will fulfill you. And that is a right relationship with your Creator. Amen. First in salvation, then even after you're saved, you can still be miserable. And so we respond to God, look unto Him. Amen. He is our fulfiller. Amen. Because He knows what we need. And so we find Israel. They got into their land. They had everything given unto them, and truly they forgot God. And they started running after all kinds of other things. Amen. But this is what He said. Don't forget the Lord, which brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Can I say, don't forget the Lord that brought you out of your house of bondage. Don't forget the Lord. He's the one. He's the one we need to remember. Look over to Exodus 3. Even before God brought Israel out of bondage, He stressed their need to remember this before it even happened. By the way, this is why we need to be in church. We need to be around godly people. We need to be in our Sunday school classes where we have more of an opportunity to interact and participate. And then Sunday night, just the focus is a little different. Wednesday, we just need to be in these places to bring us back to remembrance, because we get so forgetful about what's important and about what. Did you ever stop and think this? Today really could be your last day on earth. I'm not trying to scare anybody, it's just reality. Amen. And because of the rapture, that'd be great.
Amen.
But maybe just because, I mean, I'm like a candidate for a heart attack in any Sunday, amen. Did you say amen, Dan? And that's fine. And that's fine, because, I mean, I'm looking forward to that. And I tried to set it up to you'll be taken care of. But the point is that any given day, we can drop over. Amen. By the way, just so you know, you women are more prone to that than men for some reason. And I don't know why, but the statistics now show women are more maybe it's because of all that stress y'all carry. Y'all stressed out about everything. You know, this has to be just right and smell just right and look just, guys just don't care. We do, we care about some things, but about those things. But all of us, amen, done. And do you know that if that happens, all the stuff you've been worrying about, you won't be there to do anything about? And I know you think that unless you do it, it can't be done right, but just know this, you will be removed from the equation at some point. Whether through death or just maybe because you get disabled or unabled, amen. But you will be removed. And then who's going to do it? You say, I don't know. Well, you know what? It doesn't matter, because either it will or it won't get done, but it ain't going to change anything. It ain't going to change anything. So stop worrying about all that stuff. Just look to Jesus and let Him guide your life. He's given us all things richly to enjoy. We've kind of gone back there a few times, but maybe I needed it. Maybe you needed it. Exodus 3. How does God set us up to remember? How does God do it? How does God set us up to remember? Exodus 3, verse 13. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come into the children of Israel and say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you. They shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. By the way, I love that name for God.
Amen.
I am. He is the self-existent one. And I've said it for a while. I'll say it now just because people like it so much. I think God likes it. From God, He am yesterday, He am today, He am tomorrow, He am always, He always am. And you might not like what that sounds like because you're stuck in these little English rules and stuff. But when you study your Bible, you better just go ahead and forget a lot of that, amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah, amen. But the best way to understand God is simply that, I am. Do you know that God am at creation right now? Let that blow your mind for a minute. And He am at those events in Revelation that the adult class is studying. He am at the tribulation right now. And He am at the Battle of Armageddon. And He am at the, you say, how does that work? God am, that's how it works. And nobody else am, but God am. all the time. I mean, we kind of am right now, but that's it. He am all everywhere, all the time, everything. He am. And so when they said, when Moses says to God, when they say to you, who sent you, just say, I am. I am. And they came to know that name, right? Because even when Jesus came to earth and he said that, the Pharisees wanted to stone him over it. Because they knew who he was talking about. They knew him by a name, and it was I am. Amen. And so how does God set us up to remember? He first sets us up by knowing the name. In our same text, it goes on. And in verse 15 at the end, it says, this is my name forever. This is my memorial unto all generations. He says that name, my name, am. And can I say today, God has revealed to us a name that we are not to forget. And it is likened unto salvation. It brings our hearts and minds to exactly where God would want us to remember just simply by remembering a name. And can I say that name is Jesus? It's Jesus. Amen. This is the name that God has given to us. And by the way, the world hates that name. And if you're not saved, you don't like it. Then what's the big deal about Jesus? Most people just use it as a curse word. That's what the world does. They curse that name. But to you and I, it is rather glorious. Do you know that Jesus, the name Jesus, in the New Testament is used 983 times? That's a lot. That's almost like it's important. Amen. This is the name that God told Mary and Joseph to name their child. Matthew 1, 20 through 25. Acts 4, 12 tells us, neither is there salvation in any other. It goes on to say in that same text, it says that there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's not Allah. It's not Confucius. It's not Buddha or anybody else. It's not Allah. It's Jesus. That is the name that God has given to us to know in reference to him. For Israel, I am. For us today, it's Jesus. Amen. Jesus. God used Peter to connect for the Jews. Jesus and salvation. In Acts 4:10, if you want to look there, Acts 4:10, if you can get there real quick, amen. He says this, Peter said this, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. So Peter said, you're going to have to connect a name with God and with a miraculous thing like a healing, connect that to the name of Jesus. They did not want to make that connection. The name Jesus causes us to remember that he is the one that we must give an account to. In Philippians 2:10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. Remember, all judgment's been committed to Jesus. Whether you believe in Jesus or not, you will stand before him and you will give an account to him for your life. I ain't giving account to nobody. Oh, yes, you will. Amen. And his name is Jesus. Amen. It is to Jesus, by the way, that I have access to God. He is my high priest. Hebrews speaks of this. He's my high priest. The veil, the flesh or the man-made veil in the temple has been ripped, amen. He now, his flesh is our access to God. It's through his name. I pray in Jesus' name because it's through him I have access. I'm telling you, everything about our lives today go through that person named Jesus. It is all about Jesus. It is in the name of Jesus that I believe for salvation, for life, for resurrection. By the way, I don't just believe in Jesus for my salvation. I believe in him for everything. I believe in him for how I should live, how we should raise our kids, how we should school our kids, how we should operate as being married, how we should correlate and operate in reference to other relationships in life, and in how our church should operate. It all comes back to Jesus. It all comes back to the Word of God. He is to have the preeminence in all things. It is all. There is never a time where you can say, I'm going to set Jesus aside and go get me something different, and it's ever going to work out. You say, give me a verse for that. He said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. Everything in our life that starts with Jesus and ends with Jesus does great. Everything in our life that does not start with Jesus, but we try to end it with Jesus, that's fine. That's good, because we started wrong. We've recognized it. We've repented. And now we're heading towards Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Things that start with Jesus, but we're not trying to end there where Jesus is. We got smarter about this whole thing. You know, I started with Jesus, but man, he's just so boring. I got to add me some flair to my life. That ain't going to end well.
Right.
It ain't going to end well. It has to start and end with Jesus. And if it doesn't start with Jesus, we must repent, get on the right track, and now look unto Jesus and head towards Jesus. It is all about Jesus.
Amen.
And every time we try to get off that track, it never ends well, because he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the start and finish of all things. Amen. Jehovah Nissi, the banner. Jesus is our banner. So I made a little banner. Amen. Look at this. Isn't that neat? Whoa! He is my Lord, amen. Jesus! It is all about Jesus, amen. Say, so you are fanatical. Yes, you better believe it. Because without him, I can do nothing. I can't raise my kids without him. I can't be a good husband to my wife without him. I can't be a good pastor without him. I can't even go to heaven without him. I can't have my sins forgiven. I can't be a good employer or an employee. I can't do anything. I can't be a good mechanic. I can't do anything without Jesus. Amen. He is at the top. He is my banner. And I don't mind just waving this around. Amen. I ask you this question. Would you mind waving a banner like this? Does this actually detail your life? Is this how you see things? Is this how you view life? Jesus is my banner, amen. Without him, I'm nothing. But with him, I can do everything he's called me to, amen. There's no reason to be discouraged. I can lift up my hands now, and I can praise God, amen, because of Jesus.
Amen.
He's my banner, and I'm not ashamed of it. So when you come looking for counsel, I'm just going to point you to Jesus. When you come asking questions, you might not like the answer, but I'm just going to point you to Jesus. You may like it. I'm going to help you do. I'm just going to lift him up, amen, and glorify him. Why? He's everything. He's our banner. And by the way, this is what brings everything back to remembrance for us. It's his name. The world wants us to forget him. The world wants us to act like he doesn't exist. The world wants us to say, you know, there's a lot of ways to heaven. No, there's not. There's one way.
Right.
It all goes back to Jesus Christ. I've met with a lot of people recently asking questions about why we do what we do, why we do this. Some Baptist guru you like ain't going to, it's not the answer. There's a million of them out there. I'll tell you who we seek to exalt, not some other man, not a pastor. This is from a pastor. We're not trying to exalt people that were created. We're trying to exalt this name right here.
Amen.
And you know what exalts him?
by just preaching his word. It just really just upsets people when they ask you questions. I remember when Micah and I, we were out knocking doors. This guy keeps asking us questions. And at one point in the midst of it, he finally stopped and said, he says, is that all you do? I said, what? He says, just quote Bible. Every question I ask you, all you do is tell me what that book says.
Amen.
And I was like, yeah. He goes, don't you think for yourself? No. No, I said, no, I don't. I said, this is truth. I'm not. You're not. This is truth. We're to prove all things. I said, near as I can tell, the more I know about this book and about God, that's pretty much sums it up. That's where I need to be.
Amen. Right.
It's all about Jesus. Yes. It's not about a degree. It's not about anything except Jesus. It's all about Jesus. He is our banner, and that's what we're to remember. Remember Jesus. There's a lot of songs, by the way, written about this. It's all about Jesus, start to finish. And if you'll remember that, if you'll remember that and challenge everything in your life, like a friendship. I have this really good friend. I ask you this question because I see a lot of young people get married and they're like, I thought it was going to work out. Did it start with Jesus? It's amazing. Like there's even kids in our church that this has been true of. You'll say, oh, yeah, I'm liking this person and all that. And you'll say, are they saved? They're like, oh, I don't know that yet. What? That's like question number, let me think. One. Why? Because it says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what communion hath light with darkness? Amen. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Is Satan and Jesus walking down the road together? Amen. I think not. So I'm just saying, it has to start with Jesus. And if it didn't, we need to repent and get back on track where Jesus wants us to be. And then we need to head to Jesus, amen, because he is the one we're exalting. He's the banner. He's the Alpha and the Omega. You might say, well, I'm not quite where I need to be, but it's a process, and I got to move slow in this. Slow? No, you got to get heading towards Jesus in everything.
Right.
You see, on this Memorial Day weekend, remember Jesus. If you're lost today, remember Jesus. Remember what he did for you. He loves you, died on the cross for you, went in the grave, rose again. Remember him. If you're saved today, remember Jesus. What does Jesus want your life to look like? What does Jesus have for you? Did you start right? If not, repent. Get back on track and do what God wants you to do. Look unto Jesus in everything. Let him be your banner. Amen. And if you'll do that, then you're gonna do just what fine in this life, and you're gonna glorify him. You're gonna hear that saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what we're looking forward to. Amen. But let us remember Jesus. God, thank you for today. Thank you for this time together. Thank you, God, for the opportunity, Lord, to preach this message, Lord. And God, thank you for bringing me back to remembrance, even in these things, God. I need reminded constantly that it's all about Jesus. Thank you for the name that's above every name. God, thank you for mentioning it 983 times in the New Testament, because I needed to hear it every one of those times to not forget Jesus. God, help me to remember that it's not about our church. It's not about our individual families. It's not about our ministries. It's not about what we get to do. God, it's not about where we live, where we get to go, what we get to be a part of. It's not about us. Life is all about you. You've come to give us life and to give us life more abundantly, not to give us a better existence, but so that we can be totally enveloped and brought into your existence, which is far greater. God, help us to hold the banner high. I wonder, dear God, for each one that's here, if we were to take a survey from the people each of us hang around, I wonder, God, how many would have said about them that it's well apparent that the banner above their life is Jesus Christ. And God, if that's not true for us, that's a problem. God, help us to hold your name high. Help us not to be ashamed of the name of Jesus. Help us to promote and preach, God, Christ crucified. God, help us now to lift up the name of Jesus in everything we do, what we start, what we progress through and even finish. Might Jesus be the one that's exalted in our lives. Help us now, I pray in Jesus' name. Heads, eyes closed for a moment. The pianist is going to play.